Well, welcome everyone, and thanks again for allowing us to share this time together as we celebrate our Lord's birth and breaking into history to bring us all hope and life and salvation. Well, I want to ask you a few questions as we begin our time together. I want to know, how many of you did something special with outdoor lights this year? You can probably put that on the chat and just let us know. The problem is, I can't see you, so I'm guessing, but according to everything I've read, a lot of people put lights up this year. And according to the Washington Post, they put them up early. Now, I want to show you a few lights on my walk with my wife on a daily basis. We take a walk, and we see several lights. Here's one of our neighbors right here. They've decorated their house very nice. Here's another one that this year they put in 17 evergreen trees. They covered them with lights, and they're just really beautiful to walk by at night. This next picture is pretty incredible. You're only seeing all of the lights on, so thanks for the homeowner here, Joe, who sent this picture to us so we could use it in our time together. But this is, you drive by here and you get an FM station and there's lights moving and it's going crazy and it's all connected to Prince's music. So if you happen to see that off of South Coon Creek in Andover, this is the house and it's great. And then this picture as well. And according to my granddaughter, I quote about these lights, "Grandpa, the lights on your house are really sad." And they kind of are compared to everybody else. But I did something. I had four strands of light left over. They're cobbled together. They're four different ones, and I just threw them out on my front bushes. So I don't know what you did, but the Washington Post says that when we decorate, whether in or out, it brings kind of a sense of life to us, hope. It makes us a little more happy. And that's good. Especially this year, I think a little more happy. It's why a lot of us begin to do it early. Now, let me ask you this. Some of us are stuck in a rut. Do you decorate before or after Thanksgiving? A lot of people did it before this year. I actually did it before this year inside. But my son, who lives in Manila, Philippines, says, "Dad, I tell you what, you guys are way behind. In the Philippines, they start decorating at the end of August." Pretty incredible, and I've been over there, and the decorations are pretty amazing. So when it comes to this kind of celebration, we do it. And it's, I think, a wonderful thing. As a matter of fact, there is a spiritual connection between the way we celebrate and Christmas. In the Bible, there's a great theme. It's a theme of dark and light. And over time, historically, Christians began to use the winter solstice, as all of us know. This is the darkest time of the year. As a matter of fact, we get 8 hours and 44 minutes today. Tomorrow, it'll increase just a little bit as we start moving forward. And almost all cultures do some form of celebration on the darkest days, because they're looking forward with hope. And Christians over time were no different. Over time, they used the winter solstice, eventually began to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ breaking into history on December 25th. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that talks about December 25th as the day that he was born, but it's some of the darkest days of the year. And spiritually, Christians connected that to this ongoing theme from Old Testament to New Testament of darkness and light in the Bible. And in the Bible, the scripture identifies Jesus as light, and Jesus self-identifies as light. And today I want us to take a look at the Gospel of John, because John is the apostle, one of the apostles of Jesus, one closest to Jesus, the scripture says. And when he introduces Jesus appearing to the world, he introduces him as light. Let me take a look at a few of the scriptures together. In John chapter 8, it says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said," and this is Jesus self-identifying for who he is, I am the light of the world. This is a claim of being God in the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life in their lives. In John chapter 12, he also goes on to say, I have come into the world as light. Now, when Jesus speaks these words, they're at the Feast of Tabernacles, one of the big feasts, a pilgrimage, one of three pilgrimages that Jewish people do to Jerusalem. And it's a reminder to them, as part of this feast, they light candles in the temple courts. And the candles are huge. It's not a candle, it's oil-fed. And historians tell us that when they lit these at the Feast of Tabernacles, that all of the city of Jerusalem could see the light because there was no other electricity or anything. So this was an amazing thing that happened every year. And while Jesus was standing there during the Feast of Tabernacles, he says, hey, I am the light of the world, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Here's this tremendous theme that John introduces us to. Now, John chapter 1, where we're going to spend our time together as we celebrate the Lord breaking into history today, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now, this is verse 4. In the first couple of verses of John, John introduces Jesus as a metaphor, first and foremost, as the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was life, and the Word was with God. And it identifies him as God and the creator of all of the universe. First metaphor, Word. It's a Greek word by the name of, means logos, which means all knowledge. And then he comes to this verse, and he identifies him in a second metaphor of light, as that which illuminates. It's the Greek word pho. It's one of its other derivatives is photos. It's where we get photograph. It's where we get photographer. It's where we get photosynthesis. All these things that light engenders in our lives. And he says, he was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness never overcomes light. Light always overcomes darkness. Then in John chapter 1, verse 9, and where we're going to begin thinking about Jesus as light for us, John chapter 1, verse 9 says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The true light that gives light to everyone, this is a pretty all-encompassing statement, was coming into the world. This is the way John introduces Jesus as coming into the world as the God-man. He would later say the Word became flesh and lived for a little while among us. He's coming into the world. It's not often how we think of that. We often think of Jesus coming into the world. If you ask someone on the streets, well, how did Jesus come into the world? They instantly will say, well, he came in as a baby. Which is how we often think of Christmas. But the scripture reminds us that there was no just baby that laid in the manger. It was the King of Kings who came to redeem his people and save his people. But we remember the story as we read it even today already, that there was a couple by the name of Joseph and Mary, and they were pledged to be married. But before they were actually married, the Bible says that Mary became pregnant by means of the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord appeared to both of them at different times. First to Mary, and says, you're favored, and God wants to do a miraculous, creative thing in your body so that God himself will become a man and live for a little while among us. But this is going to start with you. And he tells her not to be afraid, because God has something very special, not only for her, but for the child she gives birth to. Now, Joseph, as you can imagine, hardly believed this. And so the angel of the Lord, the same angel, Gabriel, appears to him as well and says, Joseph, what she said was true. What's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and I want you to take her as his wife. I want you to be the protector of both this woman and this child. And Joseph and Mary both surrendered their lives in such a way to God. And then the scripture says the Roman world, they were in charge at the time. They called a census. Census always called people back to their home to count them so that they could get tax money. So Joseph and Mary obeyed that command. They went back from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And there this child was born, as prophesied it said, over 700 years before that. And it says that the angels came and they visited the shepherds in the fields. And we read that tonight. And they said, you know what? They were terrified at first when this angel showed up. And they said, don't be afraid. Here's what we're going to tell you. There's going to be a Savior born. This goes right along with the message that Mary got, that when you have this child, you're going to name him Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. He's going to be the God-man on earth, only one that could save people in this way. And so the shepherds went, and it was sure as it was that the angels had said, a whole host of angels came then, an army of angels came, said, glory to God in the highest, because Savior has been born. And that's often what we think of when we think of Jesus being born. But John takes it a different way, and he says, I want you to think of it as Jesus coming as light in the darkness. Now, light is such a common thing. All of us are used to it. To us, it's kind of a static thing. The sun comes up, sun goes down, it's light, it's dark, it's twilight. We have different words for those kinds of things. We kind of think of light as something that's static. But light is anything but static. Light is an energy force. The people who study light for a living, the brainy people, they say it's almost beyond comprehension. They hardly can give a definition to light because it appears as a particle at one hand, but when it hits a solid object, it starts to be a wave. It moves at a speed of 186,000 plus miles per second, that it is an electromagnetic energy force. But it's also kinetic energy that cannot be stored. It's amazing. And when it hits certain things at that speed, it does things like photosynthesis, or when it hits the retina of our eyes at 186,000 plus feet per second, it brings color to life, vision to life. It brings clarity. We begin to see. And so we don't hardly know what light is, but if God was to use that metaphor about his son, what is he trying to tell us? You know, we don't often think of light except when we don't have it, when it's not there. I often wish that I would turn the lights on more, but it's in the middle of the night when I'm walking around and need to get up and go to the bathroom or have insomnia or something like that. I'm always running into something because you're just not quite as clear. Is it that close or is it farther away? And you stub your toes, and all of us have had this experience. We don't often think about light until we don't have it. I was with my wife on vacation once, and we went to one of these deep caves. And of course, if you've ever been to one of those deep caves, they shut the lights off. And just within a matter of a minute, they say, we're going to leave the lights off a minute. You become disoriented. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And they say that if you would go on like that for a while, that you would just be so disoriented, you wouldn't know what to do. Because there's no clarity. There's no vision without light. There's no illumination without light. As a matter of fact, we know there would be absolutely no life without life. And God takes this physical quality of light, and he says, Jesus is that to you and to me. So I want to continue on in chapter 1, verse 9 of John. And he says, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. So he came into the world through Joseph and Mary. And then verse 10 and 11 says this. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So he came into the world. He's been identified as the Creator, God, in the world now. But the world of people who he created in his image didn't recognize him as their creator. Though they were created in the image of God, they didn't see him. They didn't recognize him. And then it goes on to say, but he came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. And here that's talking about the Jewish people. Because God had called apart a Jewish people at one point in history when people were far away from God and literally darkness ruled in the world. He called out a people to show what it would be like when people began to walk with God the way they were designed. So you and I, when we were created, we were designed to have God in our life. We were designed to live on earth in the presence of God. But man sinned and turned away from God. And because of that, each and every one of us are born without the possession of God in our life. We're born vacant of God. We're not inhabited by God. And so there's a sense of darkness in our life. We don't recognize Jesus. Well, the people of Israel were meant to bring a blessing to all peoples. And that blessing in the Old Testament was said to be a Messiah, one who would come and save people from their sin, bring them back into relationship with God. And so his own Jewish people who had prophesied this for years, when he came in the flesh, didn't recognize him. Verse 12 goes on to say, yet, in light of all of that, all the people who didn't see him, yet to all, because he came for all mankind, who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now let's break that down a little bit. First and foremost, there's two wonderful verbs here, receive and believe. In a lot of ways, they're synonyms. They mean the same thing, but they have a different kind of nuance and feel to them. But they are both active. They are verbs, meaning they require a response from the person, the one, the all, mankind, who's responding to God. Now, the word receive means to take to oneself, to receive it, to take to oneself. The word believe means to trust fully. In essence, to throw yourself upon something, to trust it fully. So both of these verbs are active when it comes to responding to the light. Both of them active, and it's been identified that the light that came, is in the world, is Jesus Christ, the God-man. But interestingly enough, these verbs are not just only active, they're directional as well. This is just so interesting and what I think so comforting when it comes to hearing the message of Christmas anew through these eyes. To receive, to take it to yourself, means that you're taking something outside of yourself to yourself. So it's directional. And to those who believed, it's directional. It's something you trust fully, and that direction is in his name. You trust and believe and receive, take to yourself in his name. All that he is as God revealed. All that he is, the Son of God, the Savior, the God-man, perfect in every way, the only one who could make a sacrifice for sin, so that he came to save and deliver his people. Perfect sacrifice. You and I, we just can't generate it inside of us because we are sinners and we're alienated and away from God. So there's a direction to it. We receive and believe. So think of it this way. When we receive Jesus Christ, it's sort of like if you're in a dark room and there's light outside and you open the door, that light floods in through that door and, in essence, chases the darkness away, doesn't it? That's to receive, to take it to yourself, all that Jesus Christ did for you and your sin on the cross. And the word believe is similar in the sense that to trust fully. So you're sitting probably on your couches right now, your chairs, or wherever you're sitting right now, and you probably just plop down on them like you have many times before. You trusted them fully to hold you up. And that's exactly what that word means. In the direction pointing towards Jesus Christ, that everything he did on the cross for you, you can trust him fully to restore and reclaim you and to bring you back into relationship with God as you were originally designed. And he makes it very clear that then you have the right. Not that you demand a right to become a children of God. All of us would wish we could just do that in and of our own power. But we have rights only through Jesus Christ. And through his sacrifice, when we put our faith and trust and receive him fully into our lives, you and I can become children of God. And then he adds this little sentence on in verse 13, just so you know exactly what that means. Children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. That this is a spiritual transformation, that this is a spiritual exchange, that God is doing something deep inside your heart that you could not do yourself, you couldn't make yourself do it, you're not born into it. It's only something that God could do from outside, transforming you through the work and person of Jesus Christ. Born of God, a powerful statement. What it means to be a Christian. He goes on to say, and as we think about this, I want us to think about it as far as an image goes. Because this year has, as all of us know, has tried us. It's been, in a lot of ways, dark in a lot of ways. It's caused despair in a lot of people. It's caused a lack of hope in a lot of people. But I really believe, as we think about it deeply, that that just pushes something that's already been there in our lives. There is a darkness in our lives. And COVID might have pushed that to the limit and exasperated that a little bit. But all of us, if we were really honest with ourselves, we would know that there is a darkness and an alienation inside of us that we know that no matter what we do, will not make us right before God. And so that alienation reminds us that Christmas, the miracle of Christmas, is that God took action on your behalf and moved towards you so that you could be restored and brought to life and reconciled to the God who created you. And that's the miracle of Christmas. You know, one of the things we do as traditions at Constance is that our last song of our Christmas Eve services is usually Silent Night, and we light candles together. And I have a candle here tonight because I'm reminded of this as I think about Jesus as light of the world. And I think that so many times we look at our life and as a candle and the wick. And you know, candles are a great thing. If you run out of electricity, you have no batteries, you have some candles around, you can have light. But it's the wick that carries this light. It's just really interesting. I've listened to a lot of candles over my day. I've never heard a wick say, you know, I'm so great, I'm so powerful, I can do this. No, you know what? You know, kind of when we do this together as a church, when you do it at home and you light this candle and maybe sing with us tonight, you know, the truth of the matter is power comes to that simple little wick and it makes it all that it was meant to be. And that's exactly the way Jesus wants to work in your heart and life as well. There's a power source that comes to it through the work and power of Jesus. You transfer your trust in him alone and he brings light and life to your life. And he restores you and he brings you life. He lives in your heart and life. This is the miracle of Christianity. It's what we celebrate at Christmas, that God came to you, Emmanuel. You know, literally every other religion in the world is you doing something for, you doing something to, you doing something to move up the ladder, so to speak. Whether it's the five pillars, whether it's the eightfold path of Buddhism, that maybe if you keep working the path in reincarnation somewhere, you'll get to nirvana. or Hinduism with its many gods and its three universal truths and its fivefold path and so on down the line. And you can go through every religion, and whether it's the founder's words or whatever, these things that you have to follow. And all of them will say at the end of the day that you have to generate that from the inside out. At the end of the day, it's you doing something for that God. It's you doing something to meet that expectation. At the end of the day, you follow, you work hard, and maybe. But the Christmas message is simply this. God came to you to show you the way back to God, the way you were designed and created to live in His presence. And you know, even when I say that for some of you here tonight, you're just thinking, you know what? That's kind of a relief to me. You might have been surprised how that hits you, that God would come to you to restore you, to take away the sin in your life, the alienation in your life. That's the miracle and the message of Christmas, that Jesus came to save His people, to free them from bondage and their sin. And I want to give you an opportunity to receive that tonight into your life, that light, Jesus Christ, to come into your life and shoo the darkness away, to cleanse your sin, to forgive your sin, that as you trust Him fully, you will find Him and His life more than enough for you, to give you hope and life as He designed you to be. So let's pray together. I want to just lead you in prayer. I don't know, matter how you say it. It could be very simply tonight, Lord, I'm sort of like this wick and this candle. I need Your power, because I've tried and I can't do it. I receive You into my life. Would You forgive me and cleanse me? I trust You fully for my life and my salvation. Whatever you say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I know I'm far away from You, and I know that anything I could try to do would never get me close enough to be good enough to come into Your presence, that my only right comes through the only one who was good enough, Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. So regardless of the words you say, God will hear you, He knows you, and He loves you. He came for you. He came into the world to save sinners, you and to me. Lord, You know each one. You know each prayer. You know each heart before You. And Lord, we just pray by means of Your Spirit, You will bring us to life as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and receive that light and life into our lives. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been so good to celebrate with you. We're going to end with a couple songs and our candle lighting as well. And we're going to end with one of my favorite songs of the Christmas season is O Holy Night. And there's a line that you're going to get to sing in there where it says, "The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn." The light has come, folks. Jesus is here, and maybe for you, today has been a day where your weariness, your despair, your life has been thrown on Jesus, and you're finding hope and life in Him. If that's true for you, I'd like to know about it. I'd like to pray for you and come alongside of you. You could text 94,000, and please do that. Let us know if you received that light into your life, Jesus Christ, and trusted Him fully with your life tonight. Just let us know that. And the Lord bless you as you celebrate the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ.